You're listening to the Staffa Corner Podcast, a Staffa-tarian look at entertainment and life with your host, Greg Staffa.
And my guest today is award-winning actor Matt Hamilton. He will be featured in the new upcoming reboot of the classic 1989 comedy featuring Tom Hanks, Turner and Hooch, which will air starting on July 16th on Disney Plus. Matt, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
So you're calling from Vancouver, and you've done a lot of work in Vancouver, haven't you? I mean, that's almost like a secondary Hollywood these days. What's it like growing up in Vancouver?
Yeah, I mean, it's been, the film industry's popping up here, has been for a handful of years, but, growing up in Vancouver is one of those things where, like, I realized, like, I grew up in Victoria, which is kind of like little Vancouver, I realized how important it is to have an ocean around me, where I'll go to, like, Toronto, and, Toronto's cool and everything, like, I like the city, it's got great culture and everything, but the big lake, it's still not the same. Like, I need to be around the ocean. I'm not even like an outdoor, like I don't go kayaking every day or anything like that. It's just like being able to walk around the seawall is just something that gets me. So growing up in Vancouver, man, it's like, you know, it's kind of like growing up. Where are you at?
I'm in central Minnesota.
Central Minnesota. Okay, well, probably not like that. It's like a pretty Seattle, but with less killing.
The whole area is a beautiful area. I've been there before, and it's
gorgeous.
It's a gorgeous area. So You're living in Vancouver. Is the increase in acting and increase in filmmaking, is that what you started in acting and filmmaking, that it was in your own backyard, or was this something that would have gotten started and going even before coming to, you know, doing the Hollywood stuff?
Well, I kind of got into it backwards. I got my education in screenwriting, and so I went to the Vancouver Film School, and then for screenwriting, I graduated there, and then got a degree in writing, a BFA at the University of Victoria. So I started kind of just, after that, I started doing like sketches and shorts and, you know, trying to do funny things with friends and things like that, and I was writing a little bit, and then a friend of mine, she's an actor, Lydia Gibson, and she does quite well. But she had seen, I've known her for a long time, and she saw some of my shorts and was like, you need to go to Vancouver. I was in Victoria at the time. You need to get an agent. You need to do this and all this stuff. And I was like, okay. So I did. Went to Vancouver, got an agent, and I saw the same agent today. Hey, what's up, Kendi? It just kind of started kind of like that. It's like, you know, first month I booked like a TV movie, and then I booked a beer commercial. I'm like, oh, this ain't so bad. And then you go into the natural thing where it's like, oh shit, I didn't, it's a year and a half and I haven't worked at all. So you go through the highs and lows of the industry, but yeah, I kind of got in better.
And so are you still doing the screenwriting, or is it mostly acting now, or kind of finding a balance of both?
I mean, it's mostly acting. And like, I have some writing projects that are in development and a couple things that are optioned, but it's slow moving in that regard. Acting's easier because it's someone who's already committed to spending a lot of money, where writing, you're trying to convince somebody to spend a lot of money. It's a little bit, it's a little slower. And I'm also like, I'm one of those, like, I'm the writer who's like, my best quality of writing is my procrastination. So it's like, you know, it's not like every morning I'm cropping away at a script and I'm pitching. It's like, oh, I'll do that tomorrow. So it's one of these things where I like have to like force myself to get in and do it. So still writing, but mostly acting.
Do you notice a lot of difference between filming in, you know, Canada versus US, or is it so close together that there isn't really a difference as far as the unions go or anything like that?
I think there's not much of a difference. To be honest, I haven't shot anything in the States.
So oh, really?
Everything I've been in is been in Vancouver or Toronto or Calgary or Victoria even. And so I haven't shot anything down there. But from what I understand from people, I have friends who live in LA and come up and do this, it's, you know, relatively similar, especially with, you know, Vancouver being such a popular film hub, that they, you know, a lot of experienced crews and stuff like that. So I imagine the...
Do you feel that Vancouver has been a, like almost a safety net for you? Or does that inhibit you at all from choices? Or is this, you're perfectly fine with what you're doing and you're happy? As long as you're happy, that's all that matters.
That's a good question. I think it is kind of a safety net because I have to get my, I have to get a work visa to work down in the States. And so it's one of these things we have to put money in or and put time and effort and try and make a move. And, you know, LA is such a bigger plan. I was hesitant about doing that because it was like, here, my resume is pretty good. Down there, I'm like one of hundreds in the same boat, you know?
Sure.
But it's one of these things where moving forward, that is going to change for me. I am going to get my work visa. And I had been happy kind of doing whatever, but you get to a point, I think the natural kind of human condition is to be challenged to want more, to see what the next step is. And so,
sure,
you know, a lot of the stuff that films here is the TV movie stuff, and that doesn't really interest me anymore. At first, it's like, great, paycheck, let's go. But then you get to a level and you're like, you know what? I want more interesting things. I don't want to play the same role in every friggin' movie. I want to do other things. And so I was really fortunate when Turner Hooch came along. I was able to hop on and do something different I hadn't done before. And it's like one of my, like, you know, I get to do comedy, and that's one of my favorite things. And it's a cop show. It's like action comedy. So it's like right in my wheelhouse.
So you've done a lot of TV movies. Is there anything in particular that you've done that you're kind of like, man, I wish the audience would have just grasped onto this, that you saw something that the audience might not? Because TV movies, we kind of, oh yeah, it's a TV movie, it's enjoyable, I watched it, but it's not like, you know, I can't wait for a sequel for a TV movie. Is there anything that you wish that fans of yours would go back and watch, try to find on Netflix or somewhere, that you wish that people would kind of grasp onto?
Yeah, good question. Well, there's one show that sticks out for sure. That is, it was a web series called The Actress Diaries.
And you wrote
three seasons of it.
You did some writing on that too.
Yeah. So that was a show. There's three seasons, but there's only two narrative seasons. The first season is kind of like a sketch show kind of thing.
Okay.
So I popped in the second season. They brought me on as a writer and an actor, and that show did like really well for us in festivals and awards and things like that. And that was great. But it didn't really get a huge online presence, which is sometimes it's hard to find. Like with online shows, there's so much competition and battling with for eyeballs, basically. But it's a very funny and charming and sweet show. It's the creator, Lisa, she's a big fan of like Parks and Rec and The Office and things like that. And so it's kind of similar to that in a mock up style. But I thought it was really well done. Yeah, the rest of it, like the TV movie stuff, it's kind of, hold on, I'm trying to forget. Is there anything else that I've? I'm sorry, I'm just looking at my own IMDb.
You've done so much work that you have to look at your own IMDb.
Yeah, it's it's like wading through shit in my IMDb. Listen, people love the Hallmark movies and the Lifetime movies, and it's their, you know, they have their own thing, but they kind of go against my sensibilities and what I like. And their thing is like, you know, it's the same thing. You know what's going to happen. They're going to get together, kiss at the end, and, you know, the girl from the big city is going to stay and whatever, right? Whereas they like the comfort and safety of knowing what's happening. For me, that's just
not challenging.
Not really. I've met like a lot of awesome people through that. It's just not my favorite.
Is there a character or a role, now that everyone's going back to origins again or reboots and stuff like that, is there a role that you would love that they came out with a sequel to or a follow-up to of a character that you played on a made-for-TV movie?
Oh, good question. Actually, some of the roles I've done in these TV movies are pretty fun. I get to be, a lot of times I'm like the funny best friend, so I get to at least do some stuff, but there's not a role. Well, I did a movie where I was Meghan Markle's boyfriend. well, she was on Suits before she was like Queen of England, or Duchess, or whatever she is.
Yep.
So I was her shitty boyfriend that she like dumps to find true love. That was fun. I got to play baseball in the scene. So that was.
I was gonna say I've seen the batting cage scene with you and her, and I'm like, oh wow, she was in. That I reviewed Suits for many years, every episode and stuff like that. So,
oh, yeah.
She's a very
sweet,
very talented actress, and just the way her life has changed to become a prince. That's almost a made-for-TV movie in itself.
When they got married, I got a lot of like everyone in my life was like, "How come you didn't get an invite to the wedding?" Like all this like GOP text, and then, like the first time was funny, and then you know when your 17th uncle texts you. That's right. You're like, all right, guys, I get it. Okay, just relax. She moved on and found something better.
No, it's an interesting story that she's had. So you wanted to do a bunch of TV movies, and then the opportunity for Turner and Hooch came up. You said you wanted to do or you liked doing comedy. Is that what drew you to the role, or what was it about doing a remake?
Well, what drew me to the role is I was actually shooting a movie down in the interior of BC, and I got this audition, and at first, I'm like turning Hooch. I'm like, oh, cool. I love that movie as a kid. And then I read the character, and I was like, oh man, this is awesome. This is so fun. And it was like, you know, he's the kind of hero, douchebag hero cop who gets all the glamour, all the callers, all the good cases and stuff like that. And he's like kind of a friendly foil to Josh and Brandon and Connor, like the main U.S. Marshals.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was just like a lot of fun, like playing a guy who's kind of a dick, but he's kind of funny. And I'm playing a cop. I grew up like, I have a diehard poster like right next to my desk right now. So like, I love Bruce Willis. I loved him as growing up. So I love all those kind of movies. And so being able to play a cop that is also like a comedy is like, oh, man, dream. It was so fun. It was so much fun.
And I assume that was shot in like the Vancouver area?
It was, yeah.
So now, as an actor, do you like, I mean, almost to some extent as a critic, it drives me nuts because there's a new show on Amazon, there's a new show on Apple Plus, there's a new show on Disney Plus, there's a new show on CBS, NBC, and after a while you have all these streaming services. Is that something that you like as an actor? What was it like working for the Disney umbrella for something as big as Disney Plus?
Yeah, good question. Well, there wasn't like, I mean, I like it as an actor because that means there's more job opportunities, but it is difficult. I mean, I do empathize with you, like your job to critique is like, God, I mean, there's still so many good shows that I haven't seen. Like I'm like on season one still of The Handmaid's Tale. Like there's so much good stuff out there. It's hard, but as for working for Disney, they didn't really have, it wasn't really that noticeable. Like they didn't have, it wasn't like a Marvel, like you hear stories about Marvel is
this, you know, big machine,
very secretive and all this stuff. Yeah. Big machine where it didn't feel like that. It kind of felt like, I mean, it's a bigger budget show. It's a bigger show, but it felt like, yeah, just doing kind of a, you know, a big thing with a giant slobbery dog.
Now, did you go, you liked it as a kid. Did you go back and rewatch the film prior to shooting?
Yeah.
Now, your character...
It's fun.
Your character isn't in the film, though, is he?
No, he's not. No.
Okay. So this is an entirely new character.
Yeah. The show is basically a continuation of where Josh Peck plays Tom Hanks' character's son.
Oh, okay.
And he passes away, and he's got another Hooch, and he leaves the dog to Scott. So, his son, and so the hijinks ensue.
So it's a continuation rather than a reboot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
And what was it like? I mean, everyone says you're not supposed to work with dog or animals or kids.
Yeah.
I know your character is a little bit rubs up against the dog a little bit. What was it like doing that as an actor?
Well, you learn pretty cool. One, I love dogs. I mean, huge dog guy. But you learn pretty quickly. Like sometimes, like you go in and it's, okay, we're shooting five pages today. I'm in two and a half of them. All right, I'll be out at lunch. maybe we'll see what I'm going to do for dinner. And maybe I'll make plans. He realized pretty quickly that, you know, shooting with animals is, you know, I was there like 11 hours that day. He's like, okay, I guess I'm not going anywhere. So you just kind of get the mindset. For me, I just got the mindset when I show up to work, I could be there 12 hours. So let's just plan on that. If I get out early, cool. If not, whatever. But, you know, it's kind of, I mean, Josh had to deal with it more than I did. But I dealt, like, most of my scenes have the dog, but he's holding him. And so these dogs are like, they're like 150 pounds of muscle. They're so strong. Like Josh's hands at one point were all calloused up because he was from just the leash, from shooting the leash stuff. And at one point I was like, hey, like we're shooting outside and we're in between setups and he's holding the dog. And I'm like, here, I'll hold the dog for you and give you a break. And so I kind of grabbed the leash, just one hand thinking, yeah, whatever, dog. Freaking thing almost like decided to go for a walk and my shoulder almost popped out of my socket. It was like, oh my God, two hands. You need two hands in this thing. It's insane. And the see and like the and the when you see the slobber, and, you know, part of me, I always kind of thought that was like maybe like a visual effects thing they did or whatever. It's not. Those dogs legitimately drool those thick ropes of saliva. It is so gross. Well, it's really funny. You can always tell when we do like a dog scene, like in between setups, the dog, they have to have somebody come down and spray and wipe everything down, like my pants and the desk and everything. Oh, man, it's so funny. But yeah, I mean, working with animals is tricky and kids. And there's, you know, I did the Babysitter's Club and I had worked with a couple 5-year-olds and some like 12-year-olds, and so that's tricky too because you got to like there's a certain amount of time they can be on set, and then they have to go to school and do all the stuff, and we're all on the same scene and shooting around kids is hard, so it just makes for a long day. Smarter people are in charge of making sure that it works, and I just trust that they will.
Now, most of your stuff has been TV movies. You've done a few episodic things where you've appeared in more than one episode. But this is really the first time, as far as I can tell, that you've done a series where it's, you know, more than, you know, 10 episodes. This is 12 episodes. Were you able to do more as an actor? Did you find it more liberating? Or after a while, is it just the same thing?
Yeah. Good question. Yeah. It does give you some freedom you're building a character throughout a season. And it's kind of weird at first because you don't know, you don't have the episodes. They have an idea of what they want to do with the character, but the last whatever half episodes aren't written by the time when you start. So you kind of don't know exactly where you're going. So the first couple episodes, I'm just kind of guessing as to where I want my guy to go. And then as it turned out, they liked what I was doing. So they kind of wrote me in a couple more and it was a lot of fun. It was once you kind of like lock in on what makes your character tick, it's a lot of fun. You get like, you just get comfortable in a suit and get a lot of room to play. And they were really open with like improvisation and things like that, which is stuff I love to do. So like they were, often with like this, whatever they really leaned into the comedy. So it's like whatever will make this funny. If it's a line from you, it's the idea from somebody else. Let's try it. Let's try things to make people laugh. And so it was good. It was so much fun.
Now, as a screenwriter and having gone to school for all that, is it? I don't want to say taboo, but is input from someone like your background welcome? Or is it more stick to your character? If you have character thoughts and ideas, let's hear that. But as far as, hey, I got some ideas on other scenes, is that welcome or is that not welcome? How does that, I mean, you got to think that with your background, there'd be a lot of temptation to say, hey, can we make a change here on this character that's not mine?
Yeah. That's a tricky thing. You always want to get, like, whenever I do things, I always have ideas for lines or characters, or even if it's not mine, like, what about this? You always want to kind of, you know, test the water to make sure you're not stepping on, you know, people's feet. You know, some people you know, they don't like their stuff changed. And I get it. Cool. That's, you know, that's their thing. All good. But once you get a kind of an idea, like, and I'm also like a loudmouth. So like, I can't, like, I'll just throw ideas out. And one of the EPs on the show, Mike, I became friends. Like, I just fire him ideas and like line ideas. I mean, you'd be funny in this. And, you know, some of the stuff that he actually kept, but most of the stuff is just like, oh, that's, you know, I don't know if this will work, but what about this? This is kind of funny. And I like to throw out as many options as I can. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't know if taboo is the right word, but you got to be careful in this industry because some people are really precious about their stuff and they want it very particular. And other people are not. And they're here to make a more collaborative thing and whatever. So I think it's just take the pulse of the set and the people running it and go from there.
What was it like working with Josh Peck? Because he comes from a long history of comedies and Drake and Josh and stuff like that. And he's a very funny person. But this is, I mean, leading is something that I think is relatively new for him, it being the main lead. What was it like working with him and the kind of chemistry that you two have? Because it sounds like you have a lot of scenes together.
Yeah. Yeah. He was awesome. He was so fun to work with because he's really funny. And he's really good at improv. So we had a lot of fun together. And a lot of, like, he always breaks too. He's the first one to crack if we start riffing on something. But he was really gracious and you know, he didn't really have a day off at all. Like while we're shooting, like, you know, you get your weekends, but he's got like, he had his young son up here and his family and he's working long days with these dogs and it's long and it's, you know, COVID and masks and all that stuff. But he never complained. He was never in a bad mood, which is, you know, you run into people and movie sets who are, you know, I mean, they might be kind of a dick, but sometimes they're not even meaning to be a dick. They just didn't get a good sleep and you're on a night shoot. You know what I mean? So it's an environment that's not conducive to, it's easy to have a bad attitude on it or be in a bad mood. And he never did. He never did. And he was really great with everyone. He was funny. And like, as for, I'm not sure. Yeah, he might not have. This might be his first kind of like leading man kind of thing. But he fits in it naturally. He's so great. He's a lot of fun.
Now, some people might be, I don't want to say cynics, but, you know, you have a classic. Turner Hooch is a classic. Yeah. You know, Tom Hanks, the 80s, you know, you can't really go wrong with that. Why would I want to watch a series that doesn't feature Tom Hanks, that takes what I did and turns it into a TV show? Why should they watch Turner and Hooch?
That's a good question. Well, one thing...
other than that you're in it.
I'd like is, yeah, well, I was going to say, mostly me. Watch it for me, obviously. But one thing they've done is, it's not a reboot. They're not, it's like a... like I said before, it's like a continuation. So you get these new characters in the same world with the same tone. And I think like one, and I'm not in episode one. I think I come in episode two, but like once the show kicks off, it's easy to fall right into it. Cause it's funny. It's, you know, action packed. The actors are great. The actors are excellent. So I think, and McKee directs the pilot. So it's a, you know, like a, almost like a movie, the pilot, but it's like a continuation of a beloved show. Oh man, that'd been so cool. Tom Hanks is in it though. But he ain't. And I think he had COVID at the time in Australia. But it's a funny, like, there's not many shows like it that are like 1 hour action shows that lean into the comedy, like comedy first. There's not very many shows like that on TV, so it's kind of unique in its own thing. And I think it's so good. I haven't seen like full episodes, just stuff on the, for when I'm doing ADR, But it looks awesome. It looks so good. It looks so fun. I think it's just a fun show to like pop on.
Now it's a continuation, but do you think it'll lead new younger fans to want to go back and watch Turner and Hooch, or is it something that looks forward?
I hope so. Like, especially if you get like this show can fit like a youthful audience. It could fit, you know, an older audience. There's kind of there's something for everyone in the show. It checks a lot of boxes. But I would think so, especially if you're coming in and you're young and, you know, I was talking to some people and they didn't, it's a redo of, it's a continuation of the movie with Tom Hanks. And they didn't know what the hell I was talking about. These younger, I'm like, what? You guys, Turner and Hooch? Tom Hanks? I'm like, man. So that happened a lot when I was talking to like younger people and, some young friends I have. And I was just like, oh man, you guys. They're missing out.
Yeah, you have that whole era of Splash and all that stuff that Tom Hanks was funny.
Yeah, that was great.
And then he became a serious actor and everything took off from there. So now is this,
I like the Birds too. The Birds is good.
Oh, that was a good one. Now, I know TV is unknown. Is the goal or is the setup, or is everything for more seasons? Is this a one-off? What is the approach? I know you don't know, you know, the future necessarily, especially in TV.
Yeah, it's tricky. Like, you don't know. I know they want to do another season. I think they have like a plan for another season, but we haven't got the official order or anything yet. I would love it. I think it'd be so much fun to do, but you never know with these streaming things. They're all tricky. I don't know what kind of numbers you need or, what the budget matters, or I don't know.
It does seem like it's an entire entity of itself versus what TV can do and get away with and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly.
So that comes out starting on July 16th. I'm guessing it releases weekly, not like a dump like Netflix does. So looking forward to that.
I love the once a week thing.
It's fun, but at the same time, it's nerve-wracking. I mean, some of these Marvel stuff where it all of a sudden ends and you're like, god damn it. But it's I love Disney Plus. And I think what's so interesting about Disney Plus and some of these streaming services is, you know, 4 years ago, if I would have said, yeah, we're gonna hire you, Matt, for a streaming show, and you'd go, oh great, that's like lower than TV. And it's not. Right. But the mentality was years ago, streaming, you know, oh, I have a streaming show. Well, where's the budget in that? But they're putting, I mean, these are film quality shows that they're not holding back on much at all to create content. So it's an amazing kind of time that we live in.
Yeah, they put in like the budget for Turner and Hooch is healthy. Like it's like a big budget movie for the season. Like it's, I think it's like some $80 million or something like that. Oh, wow. $75 million. So it's, they didn't skimp on it, that's for sure. It's not like the Marvel shows. Like those ones are the six episode ones anyways. Those ones are like $120 million for six episodes. So as far as when in that comparison, we're kind of a lower budget Disney Plus show. So maybe that's good enough to get a second season. They're not sparing any expense or resource. Like they want to make, it's not just to pump out content. Like they want to make it good, and they'll put the money in for that. And that's kind of refreshing to be part of.
Now, is there something as an actor that you did in one of these episodes that you're looking forward to fans seeing that you do? It's kind of an action comedy. Is there something action wise that was new to you that you did that you can't wait for people to see that you can say, I did that? Like what episode should we look for?
I did like a fight scene in episode 9. I've done some kind of fight scene stuff on like Supernatural and whatever. No, nothing too crazy. And so this one, I think in the script it was like a guy pulls a knife, I body check him into the wall, like he cuts me and then runs away kind of thing. It's pretty simple, but I'm like, oh, that'd be fun. And then at lunch one of the days, they say, oh, come, we want to walk you through with the scent coordinator what we're doing on Thursday, so you can kind of prepare and rehearse and stuff like that. And when I watched them do it, I was like, oh my God, it was so meticulous, and it was obviously extended, and it was this whole kind of knife fight scene. And at first, it was really kind of daunting. And I'm like, I have to learn that in 2 days? They're like, yeah. I'm like, okay, cool. But you kind of learn it in pieces, and then you get it, and it's, oh man, it was so much fun. I had a stunt guy who did wide, and then I came in and did kind of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the first take, I get kicked it right in the face because I was in the wrong spot, and the guy spun around. He's supposed to kick me in the chest, kicked me right in the face. I stayed in it though until he yelled cut. So I don't know if they use that or not, but it's fun. It's tiring. Like at first, it's like the adrenaline's going. I'm like, oh, I'm in a fight team. This is so cool. But then you really get appreciation for what these stunt guys go through when they do all this stuff. Skyler was my dude, and he, like, you know, I had to change shirts like 3 times because I kept sweating through the shirt I was wearing.
And what episode did you say this will be in?
Tiring. Episode 9.
Okay. So 9 out of 12.
Well, I'm hoping it opens doors for my my new action movie career.
There you go. So, speaking of that, so Turner Hooch, let's say you do a couple seasons, everything works out. What's next for you? What's, you know, it sounds like there's a lot of opportunity, but some of it might involve leaving Vancouver, or kind of, you know, you kind of express a little bit that you're loving it there. There's a lot of opportunity, but also at the same time, there might be a little bit of holding you back. What are some things that you envision, you know, 5 years from now?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, I want to have this feature that I wrote that is often that we're trying to get going, and it's a place in like more screenwriting contests, and it's a crime thriller, and I'd really love to shoot that at some point. That's what I would like. I'm gonna start acting in things that don't have a pilot that I wrote. Two that was that almost got made at Amazon, but not quite. So we're looking for a new home for that, and then I would love to just be in things that I'm writing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
we kind of talked a little bit earlier about how there's so much content out there because of Amazon, Apple Plus, Disney Plus, you know, Hulu, and stuff like that. On the opposite end of that spectrum, is there a lot of opportunity for a writer to get noticed because there is a need for content? I mean, it almost feels that to some extent it's so stretched thin that they're looking for any kind of new ideas. Is that something as a writer that you're seeing, or is it still pretty hard to kind of break that wall?
Yeah, well, there is a lot of opportunity, but it's kind of right now that people are looking for, like, BIPOC. Like, that's the one thing they're kind of looking for the most is, stories from writers from, you know, like women and BIPOC and that kind of thing. So there's a lot of, they're really trying to, like, level the playing thing. And I'm 4 years old and I'm white. I'm a dude. Like, that's, you know, I've had a lot of breaks in my career that these people haven't been afforded the opportunity. So it's their turn, and a lot of times that's what these new streaming services are looking for, is more stories from them. And that makes sense to buy my, I also want them to buy mine. But yeah, I think moving forward, I think there's going to be, you know, it became this thing where it's like, oh, you don't have, you know, cutting cable. Or it's like, oh yeah, I just have Netflix. I'm good. Now, Netflix, and up in Canada, Crave, which is like the HBO Max, and then Disney Plus, and then Prime Video, and God almighty, there's so many. Paramount has one coming out. Crazy.
Now, is there a genre that you've never done before that you'd really love to do, or are you just kind of open for opportunities?
I'm open for opportunities, but I want to do a horror movie, and I want to do an action movie.
Even after the...
I have this one horror script. I have a horror script that I wrote that placed in a couple contests. And it's something I'm kind of hanging on to. I'd really love to kind of get that going somehow. But yeah, horror action movie. I'd love to do that.
You'll be able to walk around with your little stunt scene on your phone and impress the women and friends and stuff like that.
Check that out. That's me. Like, don't you get beat up in that scene? Like, shut up. That's not the point. Look how cool it is.
That would be a kind of a fun thing to have on your phone, just to, like, show off. I mean, here I have pictures of, you know, a place I went or this or that, but here's me in a stunt scene. That'd be kind of, you know, even as an actor, that'd be kind of cool to have just to play. And that's me taking that punch, taking that kick to the face because it should have been the chest. Wrapping things up, Turner & Hooch comes out July 16th on Disney Plus. It's a continuation, not necessarily a reboot. For your Matt in that. Anything else coming out with you in it?
I just found a movie that'll come out around Christmas, I think. And then now I'm just kind of waiting to see what the next thing is. I'm kind of just relaxing. I may just chill for the summer. But we'll see what comes my way.
Well, that's great. Well, I appreciate your time and look forward to checking out Turner & Hooch. Again, that's on Disney Plus, July 16th. You can skip the first episode because Matt's in the second episode.
Yeah.
So wait for that to come out and then catch up on the first episode, watch the second episode back to back, and then go forward with it and enjoy Turner & Hooch. Again, Matt, thanks for your time. I wish you the best of luck. And I look forward to checking out that eventual horror action pick of yours. And I'll be able to say, I remember that guy when he was on Turner & Hooch. So thank you very much for your time. And good luck to you.
Thanks, man. Nice chatting to you.
Thanks. That does it for this episode. Thank you for listening to the Staffa Corner.